Thank you. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
and also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
Blessed is the one who considers the poor, and in the day of trouble the Lord delivers him.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But this is love perfected with us by this love. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ tells the account of the rich man and Lazarus against the Pharisees, who were lovers of money and ridiculed him. They justified themselves before men, but he, God in our flesh, knew their hearts. He tells them that what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's what's in the preceding verses, and that is the context of our Lord's telling of the rich man and Lazarus. He is looking square into the eyes of the Pharisees and warning them. It is a call to repentance, an exhortation to them to get over themselves and to quit living the lie they were living, counting themselves as righteous while looking down their self-righteous noses at sinners they deemed to be lower than themselves. They, the Pharisees, are the rich man in the story, for they were clothed in fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day, paying no mind to the poor in their midst, and offering no help and showing no mercy to sinners in need, but in fact casting sinners aside and telling them that they had no part with God. They were the exalted ones in their society, but they were an abomination in the sight of God, who stands before them in our flesh. And our Lord Jesus Christ minces no words in describing the eternal destiny that awaits them if they continue in their impenitence and self-righteousness, refusing to heed his call to repentance, namely torment in hell, where they will beg for their tongues to be cooled as they suffer anguish in flames, but will find no relief or comfort. And all this because they refused to hear Moses and the prophets. They closed their ears to the word of God, which was revealed to them to show them their sin so that they might hear the good news about their Savior. They were like their fathers of old, who rejected the prophets God sent, exhorting them to repent and turn in faith to the Lord who promised to save them. Not only did they reject the prophets God sent, but they persecuted and killed them and replaced them with their own prophets, false prophets that God had not sent, who would scratch their itching ears and tell them all the things they wanted to hear. They refused to pray, "O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you." Rather, their prayer was, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men." Repent. Your problem is that you hear the account of the rich man and Lazarus, and right away consider yourself to be Lazarus in the story. It doesn't dawn on you that you are the rich man, and that Jesus is calling you to repentance. But you are, and he is. For there is a little Pharisee that lives inside of each and every one of you who looks out for number one and thinks that you're better than others. You hear our Lord preach against the Pharisees, and your initial reaction is, "That's right, Jesus, give it to those rotten, no good Pharisees. We're with you." When it should be, "Woe is me. Lord, have mercy upon me, a poor, miserable sinner." Repent. Your problem is that you do not fear the Lord as you ought, and the possibility of spending an eternity in hell is far removed from your thoughts. It shouldn't be. For you know all too well the evil that exists in your hearts and minds. You know all too well how little the word of our Lord plays a role in your lives. how often you have succumbed to your sinful flesh and embraced the world and its ways. How pitiful your prayer and devotional life often is. How you'll move mountains and rearrange your schedule to make sure you have time for the things you love, but just can't manage to find time to study God's Word. And if you really need something to drive the point home, I will just simply echo what our Lord says time and time again and bring it to money. Consider how much you put into the offering plates, or consider how much you give to the poor in comparison to what the Lord has blessed you with. Why is it that Christianity is thriving in the poorest parts of the world where churches are packed, Bible studies are filled to the brim, and what is put into the offering plates percentage-wise is astronomically higher than what churches in America see, whose pews are emptying out more and more every day, and whose Bible studies get on average less than 10% of the people who regularly attend worship? Repent. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells the account of the rich man and Lazarus against the Pharisees, but we could easily replace the word Pharisees with American Christians or even American Lutherans. The only hope for the Pharisees and for you American Lutherans is Jesus. On your own, you are doomed. You deserve the fate of the rich man, but Jesus came to take what you deserve upon himself, to suffer the temporal and eternal wrath and punishment of God in your place. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that shows the Father's grace. But it is not cheap, and it is not something to take for granted. For Jesus is the one to whom Moses and the prophets pointed, the one the evangelists and the apostles revealed as the promised Messiah who came and fulfilled all that the prophets foretold and saved sinful humanity. Who came and saved sinful you. Dear friends, your sins do not go unpunished. God does not overlook them. He doesn't wink at them and say, "Aw, shucks, I know you're doing your best, and at least you're not as bad as those other people over there. I'll just let these sins go." No. He is a just God, and he leaves no sin unpunished, but pays the price for them all with the holy and precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is often said that the problem with the American church is cheap gospel. And there is a lot of truth to that. But an even bigger problem with the American church is cheap law. That Christians in America, and including Lutherans, have lost sight of the fear of the Lord that they should have. Rejoice in his salvation, not yours. Rejoice in his righteousness, his holiness, not yours. For there is your salvation, O sinner. There on the cross, suffering anguish in the flames of hell, enduring all that Satan could dish out upon him, thirsting for his tongue to be quenched with cool water, but finding no relief or comfort, forsaken by God, smitten, stricken, and afflicted, dying an agonizing death. That is your salvation. His perfect life and atoning sacrifice are the source of all, for all grace, mercy, and love, and peace, the only source. that grace was poured out from him into you at the font, where you were baptized into his death and resurrection. That grace, undeserved favor, is poured out to you here in his holy house, in holy absolution, holy preaching, and in his holy supper. For your Lord Jesus Christ has become the rich man in your place, that you might be his Lazaruses and be fed from the rich man's table. This, dear friends, is what is meant by God is love. It doesn't mean, as so many today wrongly believe, that God loves everyone just how they are, no matter what they believe or how they live, and that God would never, ever, ever allow anyone to go to hell and suffer eternal torment. That is not at all what God is love means. Rather, it means that God loved you and all sinners in this precise way, that he sent his only Son to fulfill the law you break daily and much, and to suffer hell in your place on the cross, enduring the punishment you deserve for all your sins, so that all who repent and turn to him in faith, all who believe in him, might go free and live forever in the bliss of his eternal kingdom. That all who repent and believe in him would become his very own children, adopted into the divine family. God is love means that God loves you enough to preach the law to you, to show you your sins, that you might be led by the Holy Spirit who accompanies his word to repentance and faith, believing that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. God is love means that God continues to reveal Moses and the prophets to you, that you might steer clear of the things that are exalted by men and the sinful world, which continue to be abominations in his sight. For God does not change, even if the world does. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, God is love means that God doesn't lie to you, but tells you the truth, even the hard truth by which your itching ears hate to be scratched. And God is love means that he counts you as righteous, declares you to be innocent of all sin only for the sake of the one who lived and died in your place. Abram believed God, and it was counted to him. It was credited to him. It was declared to him righteousness. And that God is love is found here. O sinner redeemed by Christ the crucified, here at the holy altar, where repentant sinners are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb and abide in his love. It is often said that we are guilty of cheap gospel, and that is true. But more so, we are guilty of cheap law, not recognizing that we are the Pharisees that Jesus preaches against, that we have many sins that we could never pay for it in an eternity in hell. That is when we hear the truth about what God is love means. That is how the gospel shows us the Father's grace, that though we deserve nothing but hell, Jesus has given us entrance into heaven. Come then, as the poor, miserable Lazaruses you are, as holy beggars, helpless, weak, and dependent, who yearn for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. Come, trusting in no one but Jesus, satisfied with no other food but that which he offers you here. come in repentance, sorry for your sins and desiring to do better, and come in faith, clinging to the only one who became the rich man in your place, suffering what you deserve. Come and receive, and then depart to love as you have been loved, to forgive as you have been forgiven, to show mercy and compassion as you have been shown mercy and compassion. For the one who says, "I love God," but hates his brother, is a liar. The one who says, "I love God," loves his brother. For how can he not? He recognizes in his brother a sinner who is in need of the grace, mercy, and love that only comes through Jesus Christ. The same grace, mercy, and love that alone saves him. Come to your master's table as dogs eating the undeserved crumbs of his very body and blood from this holy altar, licking his wounds unto salvation, and basking forever in his peace and his love. For Jesus is all that matters. He alone is the difference between life and death. He alone is the difference between heaven and hell. He alone is the difference between you remaining the rich man or being the Lazarus welcomed into Abraham's bosom to live with him forever. And he is here. Come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, look with favor upon your holy church throughout the world. Bless your children who live under the threat of persecution and hatred. In the midst of contempt, violence, and disdain, focus us all upon the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the pastors and missionaries of our synod as they take the word of your Son to the highways and hedges, so that your house would be filled. Keep them steadfast and faithful, that your word would be proclaimed in purity and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator of all, grant wisdom and discernment to those in positions of authority, especially the President and Congress of our country, our justices, and the governor and legislature of our state. Make them to be faithful servants and stewards of the authority you have granted them, so that peace and order may be maintained among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the defender and shield of all in any want or need, the poor, the hungry, those without homes or proper employment. Provide for their needs and give them hope in the face of their trials. Bless the efforts of all those given to social work, and stir up in us, Heavenly Father, fervent love for one another, that we might share of the bountiful blessings you have given us, not only to support the ministry and mission done among us here in Elma, but also around the world in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, extend your merciful care to all who are sick, undergoing treatment, recovering, or suffering in any way, and especially to those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Culp, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shower, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Marion Soul, Cameron Snow, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, and Kimberly Toll. Comfort them with the love of Christ Jesus, the certain hope of the resurrection of the body, and according to your will, a speedy restoration to health. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We give you thanks that you have called us to the banquet of your Son's very body and blood. And we pray that you would grant us repentance and faith, that we receive this blessed food for our forgiveness, salvation, and life. Remember our brothers and sisters who are unable to join us this day, and see them quickly restored to your table. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Giver of a life without end, receive our thanks and praise for the faithful departed. Bring us to share with them the heavenly banquet of your Son in his kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know in your wisdom would be good and beneficial for us. Grant us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him to death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Glory, 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 Lord God of heaven and earth, with full of glory, shall the glory of your name sing, Hosanna in the highest.
mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate of the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. That you will bless and keep you in your baptism of the house of God. Given for you. The very body of Christ 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 given for you.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
In faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Got it? Good.